This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Another hour, the most listened to radio program on the Northern Plains.
We call it What's on Your Mind. For a very simple reason. It's the name of the show because we want to know what is on your mind. Whatever you're doing on this day, preparing for Good Friday services, toiling as usual, wherever that might be, and some good honest work, cruising along, listening while you're behind the wheel. We love those folks. Give us a ring at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550. Email studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com or text Todd, 701-226-8550. Emailer says, my apologies, but when the conservative-hating rhino Karl Rove comes on my radio, I'll be turning it off. I'm so sick of you supporting conservative-hating rhinos like Rove. Since George W. Bush, I have not heard Rove say anything positive or even neutral about conservatives. Hope you and yours have a joyous Easter. Oh, I love that. Isn't that great? I'm going to rip into Karl Rove, but then I'll just wish you a joyous Easter. Should I wish Mr. Rove, a joyous Easter for you? Karl Rove will join us at the bottom of the hour. We're going to talk about the presidential race and also elections past. He wrote a book I'm fascinated by, The Triumph of William McKinley. And you may say, what do you care about William McKinley and the election of 1896? There are so many parallels. There's so many lessons. There's so many things where you go, wow, we really get... Congressman Kramer's on the phone? Well, put him on. I want to talk to him. We have a little Congressman Kramer withdrawal anyway because Wednesday's talk radio town hall was inadvertently interrupted by... of votes in Congress or committee work or I forget what, but so we didn't have a chance to chat with him.
Committee ran over.
Yeah, the committee. Congressman Kramer, how are you?
Hey, I'm well, thanks. How are you? I'm 2 days late, but other than that, I'm great.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. That's wonderful.
Does that work okay?
It does now.
It's been crazy. I was actually supposed to go to Denver on Wednesday, and then we had this, you know, voting right on top of the show. I mean, literally on top of the show. And I had to run to the airport, and then, of course, got halfway across the country, and Denver airport closed, and it went anyway.
Well, I have a couple of questions for you. One is related to the straw poll, because I know at some point you talked about plans for a two-headed race, if you will. I didn't know if that was waiting until it was a two-person race, and since it's still a three, whether that's appropriate now or what, but are there any plans for more?
Yeah, that is the great question. I've been thinking about that myself, and I've been kind of wondering whether I should do a head-to-head with just the two or include the three, include Kasich, or, but it'd be kind of fun. I guess I haven't really thought it all the way through, Scott. We do have our convention coming up, so it might be, constructive to do something like that, but you prompt me to rethink it here. And I was thinking maybe right after the convention, but it might be more fun to do it prior to the convention.
Yeah, a week away. By the way, if you have any questions or comments for Congressman Kramer, give us a call. And anything on your mind, just lay it out there for us today at 800-228-0550, 701-258-0550, or studio at whatsonyourmindradio.com. You can also text Todd. Cloverdale, Big Flavor Hotline, 701-226-8503. And I'm curious if, you know, listeners want to know, refresh everybody's memory on why you did the straw poll and what you would do with this information. So there,
sure.
you had, you know, everybody in the race and the vote.
Right.
Trump won it.
Right.
Right. Cruz was second.
He was. So at the time I did the straw poll, I think there were about 10 or 11 people still in the race. And throughout the course of the straw poll, so the reason I did the straw poll, yes, that first was because, of course, North Dakota Republican Party chose not to hold a caucus this year and rather just send our delegates that would be elected at our state convention for the national convention, send them to the national convention unbound by any guidance or vote, because the Republican National Committee requires any state that has a primary or a caucus to bind their delegates proportionate to the vote of the people on the first ballot at their national convention. So our party decided not to do that. I think one or two others are doing the same thing. Anyway, I think Colorado might be one. But at any rate, I've always been a primary guy or a caucus person, at least a caucus, preferably a primary. I think that the idea of sending delegates unbound to a convention is just exemplifies what's wrong with politics today, and that, you know, a few get to choose for the masses rather than listening to the masses. So I decided to do this online straw poll, asking Republicans or anybody, because in North Dakota we don't have party registration, so, you know, anybody can cross over at a primary. So anyway, asking North Dakotans to choose their favorite Republican candidate, and I had to run it over a course of several weeks so as to not violate any Republican National Committee rules. And over the course of about 4 weeks, nearly 5,000 North Dakotans voted. 38% preferred Donald Trump, 26% preferred Ted Cruz, and then it was like 18% for Marco Rubio, followed by about 13 or 14% for Ben Carson, which was interesting because I think he did much better in North Dakota in my straw poll than he did in several other elections. And frankly, he had dropped out about halfway through the straw poll. He was actually quite a bit higher than that even, but about halfway through the 4 weeks, he dropped out of the race, and so then he, you know, stopped getting votes.
And by the way, I mean, when's the last time you remember a poll with 5,000 people?
Well, I mean,
that's statistically pretty extraordinary that 5,000 people are voting.
It is, Scott, but I would say this about it. The thing about a straw poll is similar to a caucus, and that is what you get is you get the people most interested in expressing themselves. And so while a convention elects delegates, and that they're the activists of the activists, right, a straw poll or a caucus attracts people that might have a particular interest in one candidate or a particular interest in a certain philosophical, you know, part of a spectrum. And so... So you do have, well, not a primary, which is a, you know, a government-sanctioned or government-run election. You do have, in a straw poll, the people that really want to make a difference. And so it's sort of somewhere between a caucus and a convention.
There are reports that Ben Carson is coming. I've also heard reports that Donald Trump and Ted Cruz are coming to the Republican convention the next weekend. I would think if Trump is coming, Carson wouldn't, and vice versa. Would that be accurate?
Well, it could be. Yeah, that would certainly make sense, unless, here's the unique thing about our situation. We're going to elect our, 28 delegates or 25 plus 3 or whatever the number is, delegates to the national convention at the state convention. It is completely plausible, considering that everybody's, you know, fighting for every single delegate now, that they could all come. And the reason I say that is because in a situation like that, there's going to be a lot of lobbying, right? You start identifying who's going to get elected to be a delegate. You start identifying people that could be. It's what will interest me, Scott. What I think will be fun to watch is, will the campaigns try to encourage people that they've identified as their supporter? In other words, will Trump identify Trump supporters and say, you've got to run as a delegate to the national convention. We're going to lobby your, you know, the delegates to your state convention to vote for you. Or will they provide a slate of, say, 20 or 25 Trump supporters, Cruz supporters, and say, try to get those 25 elected, or will they wait and just try to sort of lobby the whole group and in hopes of capturing as many of the activists that get elected to go to the national convention? And so it could be all of the above. I can tell you, I've been working for a long time to get Dr. Carson to North Dakota. He's never been to North Dakota. It's the only state he's not traveled to. He and I talked about this well over a year ago. And so, you know, he's now a surrogate for Donald Trump, and, you know, we're very hopeful that he'll make the trip. And I would not be at all surprised that Ted Cruz shows up, and I wouldn't be completely surprised if Donald Trump didn't make a decision to get there. So it's three nights, you know, two full days for sure, and there's plenty of time for a lot of politics.
And you and I are both quite critical of the fact that there was not a caucus in North Dakota or a primary because of this rule. And the North Dakota Republican Party succumbing sort of this stupid rule at the national level on this, and the rule changes and whatnot. I'm curious, when we come back, I want to ask you if you think in the end that actually might end up, you know, in a weird way being, because of the cycle and where we're at, making North Dakota more relevant than it otherwise would be. We'll talk about it when we come back with Kevin Cramer. What's on your mind? Continue.
We want to know what's on your mind, so call and tell us at 800-228-0550 or 701-258-0550.
Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. The New York Times has placed the Theodore Roosevelt National Park number 5 on its list of the top 52 places to visit in 2016. With miles of rugged badlands and rolling grasslands dotted with wildlife, the north unit of the park sits just 12 miles south of Watford City, a small town getaway with big city amenities. The gateway to internationally acclaimed adventure, Watford City residents have enjoyed the natural beauty of the area for centuries. And now, with over 700 available hotel rooms, a variety of cabins and campgrounds, 25 restaurants, unique shopping, and newly built, construction-free highways to get you there, you can plan a visit that's as rugged or as relaxing as you like. Because the Theodore Roosevelt National Park is North Dakota's playground right in your backyard. And Watford City wants to help you experience what has the nation inspired. Because the Badlands are just the beginning of the adventure. Watford City, we're not the same, we're better. Come see for yourself.
You are invited to the North Dakota Family Alliance's 2016 Faith, Family, and Freedom Dessert Banquet, Monday, April 4th in Bismarck, Tuesday, April 5th in Fargo. You won't want to miss this great evening highlighted by an inspiring message from nationally known guest speakers, the Benham Brothers. To learn more about hosting a table, underwriting opportunities, or reserving a seat, go to ndfa.org. ndfa.org. That's North Dakota Family Alliance's Faith, Family, and Freedom Dessert Banquet in Bismarck on April 4th and in Fargo on April 5th.
Central Steel Building and Construction is your premier source for GSI grain bins, GSI grain dryers, and GSI grain handling equipment. Central Steel also offers livestock water, welding supplies, and a variety of gears, pulleys, plus bulk bolts and nuts. Call Central Steel today for your GSI grain storage, material handling, and grain drying needs. 701-652-2886. Central Steel Building and Construction in Carrington. Online at grainstuff.com.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Piedmont Attorney Spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with Principal Office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Past the hour, Good Friday edition of What's on Your Mind continues. Congressman Kevin Cramer here for a few more minutes. If you have a question or comment, call us on the Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline at 800-228-0550. Carl Rove will be here at the bottom of the hour, much to the chagrin of someone who is now upset. That email I read earlier, I didn't get a chance to really finish, but I said, was you know, he was pretty much calling Carl Rove the Antichrist and how horrible, he hates conservatives and everything else. He says, by the way, happy Easter to you and your family. I just thought it just sort of didn't go together. And I made mention of that, and now the emailer said, look, I make a gesture to be nice and wish you and yours a joyous Easter, and you mock it. Says a lot about you.
Let no good deed go unpunished.
Also, from what you say, it's obvious you're not at all pro-conservative. Oh, clearly not. Anybody who listens knows I just hate conservatives. Can't stand them. You listen for 5 minutes, you hear it. You're absolutely right. It's so obvious from what I've seen of Rove on the internet and TV that he hates conservatives. It's just ridiculous. Look, Karl Rove is less conservative than I am. But what people don't get about Karl Rove is he's a great strategist. He's a brilliant political mind, okay? And obviously he has a viewpoint of what is the most electable candidate in a general election, and he espouses his view. It's his opinion. You don't have to hate anybody because they have an opinion, for crying out loud. Am I wrong, Mr. Cramer?
No, it's one of the things I admire about certain people in politics, and I think is dangerous for others, is this very issue, and I see it all the time. Donald Trump's actually a good example of somebody who I believe can swing as hard as anybody can swing in a debate or on a stage or in rhetoric, and then walk off the floor and put his arm around somebody. And that's the ability to not personalize politics, I think, is really important. But I also think it's become – I shouldn't say it's become – I'm not sure it's ever been different. Remember, they always say at family reunions, never discuss politics or religion because it leads to this sort of rage. I do think that's unfortunate because, Scott, as you know, I celebrate discourse. It is so – such a big deal to me. That's why these First Amendment issues are so big to me. And I think as Americans that love freedom, we got to celebrate it more and not be so personal about it. But I admire people who can sort of separate those things and still be passionate. It's really important.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I don't.
But individuals are still people, and the richness of our system is that. But anyway.
He ends his email with, I won't be wishing you a great Easter since it's apparent you don't like it.
I do find out, because there's nobody that I know that's more both conservative and more faithful than you are, Scott. So I'll back you 100% on that.
Well, thank you for vouching for me. But I do also think that, we can, wish everybody an Easter, even if they're a conservative-hating person in the political world you don't like. That's what I'm trying to say. Just that I'm not just going to take the Easter greeting myself and then pass over the venom directed at somebody else.
I got a real tough post on my Facebook page today from somebody that that thinks I'm not conservative enough, and he calls me every name in the book, and then of course, I point out that I've just been recognized as the 11th most conservative member of not just the House, but the entire Congress, the House and the Senate together, by the State Magazine, and so I'm the 11th most conservative, but that's not good enough because there's 10 more conservative than me. Never mind the 525 that are less conservative than me, or 523 or whatever.
Oh, goodness. So the convention, is North Dakota's convention, ironically, because the delegates will be unbound, right, because of the process of not having a primary or caucus, ironically, even though it wasn't the best way to go about it in your view or mine, going to actually put North Dakota in a more influential position?
Well, it puts 28 delegates in a more influential position, but it does nothing to empower the other 150,000 or so activist Republicans. That's still the same issue to me. In fact, I think in many respects it highlights the problem, and that is that it empowers too few people to make too large a decision. It's too basic a decision in a representative democracy. And so that doesn't change for me. And, not having a primary or a caucus certainly makes our convention more important to presidential candidates. But it makes it less important to Republican activists who aren't delegates to a convention or who can't afford to go to a convention or can't afford to pay the fee or pay for the hotel room or even in some cases perhaps have the time away from work or whatever their other duties are to be at a convention. That's the unfortunate thing.
Clint and Bismarck on the Cloverdale Big Flavor Hotline for Congressman Kevin Cramer. Go ahead, Clint.
I think he pretty well answered most of my question, but
hey,
I was going to ask him to comment on Curly Haugland's comments and a little bit disappointed with what's going on with the Republican establishment, and also would like a little comment. I understand maybe there was a little Republican establishment rule bending and whatever have you to get rid of Ron Paul. I guess I didn't follow that close. But
yeah.
Mitt Romney appears to be a very corrupt, member of that establishment.
Well, I wouldn't call him corrupt necessarily, Clint, although he's very influential, and maybe that's a better way to put it, but he's very influential, and I don't, by the way, deny him his influence or deny him his words. I would tell you this, though, Clint, and don't get me wrong, I like Mitt Romney just fine. I think he'd have been a very good president, certainly better than the one we have. That said, his opinion on this stuff matters less to me than yours does. Do you know what I mean? So he just has a bigger megaphone, but with regard to what Curly Haugland said, the Republican National Committeeman, people should understand Curly has been passionate about this for a long time, and it's not a corruption, if you will, and it's not an ill intent. It's just a firmly held belief that the Republican brand and the Republican National Committee or the North Dakota Republican Party, these are all independent sort of corporations. I think that's literally what they are, and that's what he calls them, and that they're managed by their board of directors. And therefore, the board of directors, i.e. the Republican National Committee or the North Dakota State Republican Committee, ought to be able to choose who gets their endorsement or their nomination. And he may have a technical point there. That I don't know that he does, frankly. I do think that the rules have been changed over the years. Tradition has certainly changed them. Primaries have been put in place of, or at least in addition to, conventions and caucuses in throughout our country, specifically to avoid corruption. And so, even if he has a technical point, I still disagree with the point.
Certainly disappointing to me that we change rules in the middle of a race.
Yeah,
without a question. And that's kind of what took place with Ron Paul there.
Yeah. Well, the Ron Paul thing, Clint, is interesting because I think, Scott, what he's referring to is the previous convention 4 years ago.
Yeah,
where remember that we had a caucus. Our friend that you and I both endorsed won the caucus, Senator Rick Santorum. Ron Paul finished second, and Mitt Romney finished third. And yet at our convention, at the state convention, it was very poorly handled, and yet you could see it coming from a mile away.
And I think what he's talking about is also the National Republican National Committee did the same thing to prevent Ron Paul, saying you had to have a majority of 8 states or more to be placed into nomination.
Yeah, I think that's always been the rule. At least it's been the rule as long as I can remember, Scott.
We are out of time.
All right.
Can't wait to talk to you about Paul Ryan and civility, but we'll do that Wednesday on the regular talk radio town hall. Thanks so much, Kevin.
Happy Easter, everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. An Easter weekend headed up our way. We have Carl Rove coming up next on What's on Your Mind. Don't touch that dial.
Northwest Landowners Association in North Dakota was established to help maintain a balance between resource development and property rights of individuals. We want to be the conduit between private property owners and North Dakota industry in both directions. The association is the united voice of landowners finding solutions to problems. We want to ensure that our kids and grandkids have the same opportunity to make a living off the land that we've had. Go to nwlandowners.com to view our mission and get information on membership. The Northwest Landowners Association strives to create a network of information, support, education, promote property rights issues to ensure a balanced and fair development of our resources. To accomplish this, we bring together a network of property owners, operators, and residents to share and discuss information to ensure the resources are developed in a responsible manner. Go to nwlandowners.com.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $7.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral. Don't pick on the IRS alone. I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely.
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral.
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Center, one of our fine sponsors, locations now in Williston and in Killdeer in North Dakota, but of course 30 locations all across North America. Talked to the folks yesterday there, said they are getting some great applicants for some great positions. If you are looking for a great job, right smack dab in the middle of the Bakken, world-class oil play that's going to be around for generations to come, ladies and gentlemen, give our friends at Polar Service Center a call at $32 an hour. There's housing available as well, and all you need to do is call Terry, 507-696-1164. I'll give you all the details. Really looking for tank trailer mechanics and service technicians, and great positions open right now, 507-696-1164. Our next guest is one of the nation's great political strategists, the architect of George W. Bush's victories, worked for the Bushes and many Republicans that just transformed Texas politics. Much like North Dakota's politics have been transformed under the Ed Schaefer years forward. And also the author of a book that's really caught my attention called The Triumph of William McKinley, Why the Election of 1896 Still Matters. Our friend Karl Rove is back on What's on Your Mind. Hello, sir. How are you?
Fantastic. How about you?
I forgot your most important accolade, and that is being a member of the Scandinavian American Hall of Fame.
If you were going to be, you might be cut off the air at Minot unless you mention that.
Hustfest 2009. I think you still have glitter on a suit of yours from Shyla Schaefer. I don't know if you heard this, but Shyla passed away here recently. Her funeral.
You know what? I got a notice of it, and what a great person.
Yeah, exactly right. Didn't she have glitter on that day or something? You were sitting next to her up there on the dais next to Chet Wright.
I think that's right. I think isn't she renowned for that?
Yeah, she's not necessarily getting it on the person next to her on the dais, but she always looked great. That's for sure. Yeah, that was a good memory. Well, good to catch up with you. What do you think of this race? Where we're, as we sit here today, what are you thinking about this presidential race?
Well, I think it's the wildest in our lifetime. We've seen a couple of wild ones before. 1976 was pretty wild, and on the Republican side, and the Democrats have had several contests, most notably 1980 when Ted Kennedy challenged Jimmy Carter. But we have seen nothing like this in our lifetime. We're at least back to 1976 because that was the last convention where the Republicans showed up in town. That year was Kansas City. And everybody thought Gerald Ford was slightly ahead. Ronald Reagan was on his tail, and there were just enough uncommitted delegations and uncommitted delegates that nobody, you know, nobody had a majority. And, of course, Reagan made a run at it, but Ford solidified it with the support of delegates from Pennsylvania and Mississippi in particular and had the majority. But we're back there. I think nobody's going to end up walking into Cleveland on the 18th of July with 1,237 pledged delegates.
So what does your gut tell you of when we leave that convention, the outcome will be?
Well, there are one of two outcomes. We could be 1948. That's the last convention where the Republicans, while everybody thought Thomas E. Dewey, the governor of New York, had the lead, and they expected him to be the nominee, there was enough, you know, delegates pledged to other candidates and favorite sons and so forth that it had to go for three ballots before he was named the party's standard bearer. But everybody sort of arrived in the convention, I think it was Philadelphia, and said, you know what, we're going to have, you know, Dewey's going to be the man. And we might be there. We may be in 1940, which is the last time the Republicans had a convention, where we nominated somebody who was not the leader on the first ballot. The leader on the first ballot was, again, Dewey, who was then the Manhattan DA. He made a big reputation by busting a bunch of organized crime outfits and corrupt union bosses. And he was the front runner, but he was followed by Senator Robert Taft of Ohio, and in a distant third was Wendell Willkie, a utility company executive originally from Indiana. And after the third ballot, the young, dynamic governor of the state of Minnesota, Harold Stassen, meets in a freight elevator behind the stage with Alf Landon of Kansas, and they agree to throw their support behind Willkie, and by the sixth ballot, Willkie's a nominee. Now, I don't know whether we're 1948 or 1940, but that's why it's going to be so damned interesting, because we won't know until we actually get normally the contests on the last day, which is June 7th, they typically have never really mattered because the contest was settled well in advance. But literally, it is mathematically impossible for anyone, including Donald J. Trump, to get to 1,237 until the 7th of June.
Is that largely because Kasich has, oddly enough, stayed into this race? It seems that the ire of a lot of folks are being directed at him now for what might come just because he stayed in as long as he did. Are you critical of Kasich for that decision?
Well, everybody gets to make that decision. I'd put less blame on Kasich than I would on the change in the party rules over the last successive election cycles, in which we have made more states proportional and fewer states winner take all. We used to end these contests a little bit earlier, because we had more winner take all states. And now we are in a place where a lot of these contests, the party rules said, if you want to hold your primary before the 15th of March, if you want to hold it before the Ides of March, you have to be proportional. And they thought that would discourage states from moving their contests early. Well, we had 32 contests before we had 28 contests by the Ides of March. And that's the largest number we've had in the first 6 weeks of the nomination process. And as a result, we had all these states, some of which it used to be winner take all, who are now proportional, and as a result, it chopped up the delegates among all the candidates. And then we just have, by coincidence, a lot of the contests between the Ides of March, where we had the first big winner-take-all states, Ohio and Florida, and winner-take-most states, Illinois and Missouri, where you get most of the delegates. You get all the delegates if you win you get all the statewide delegates if you come in first statewide, and you win most of the delegates in the individual congressional districts. But from after that, I mean, we've now got a bunch of proportional states coming up, including most of the states that will vote on the 7th of June. California and South Dakota and New Jersey, among them, are all going to be sort of, you know, a proportional at the congressional district level. So we're going to have delegates split up every which way.
1860, I know from a recent piece you wrote for Wall Street Journal, the Republican convention, Lincoln has less delegates than William Seward, but ultimately ends up getting the nomination. Now, that's sort of a Trump-Cruz thing, right, for this time, where they're probably going to end up being. So that'd be the kind of scenario where one vote, not enough for Trump, two votes, not enough for Trump, but all of a sudden Cruz is soars in here. What do you think of likelihood Cruz ends up the nominee?
Well, I think it's very much up in the air, and it's going to matter how each one of these guys conducts themselves every day between now and the beginning of the conventions, and particularly in the battles the week before the convention in rules and credentials and platform, and then on the floor of the convention itself. I mean, this is not unusual. We have chosen five presidents, starting with Abraham Lincoln, five Republican presidents who went into the convention and were not leading on the first ballot. One of them, I mean, it took Lincoln, the sainted Lincoln, three ballots to become the Republican nominee. We had one nominee, James A. Garfield, in 1880, who entered the convention not even as a candidate. He placed in nomination the name of his state's former senior senator and the then Treasury Secretary, John Sherman. And after 34 inconclusive ballots, Ulysses S. Grant led most of those first 34 ballots. He was stuck between 305 and 313 of the roughly 1,000 delegates. I mean, he needed just over 500, just about 502 or 3, I think it was, to be the nominee. He'd been president for two terms. He'd laid out for 4 years. He was trying to have a comeback. But for 34 ballots, he couldn't get over the majority. He couldn't get the majority. So on the 34th ballot, some people start saying, well, what about that bright, young, attractive, ranking Republican on the Ways and Means Committee? He gave a darn good speech when he nominated Sherman, and he comes from a critical battleground state, Ohio. So what about him? And he stands up and says, no delegate has a right to vote for me without my permission. And they said, forget it, we're ignoring you. And two ballots later, he was the nominee of the Republican Party and went on to win the general election.
It is pretty amazing. A few minutes left here. I do want to ask you about where we find ourselves politically. There's no way that Trump and Cruz are where they are without obvious grassroots, enormous frustration for the establishment. Is that fair? I mean, do you get tagged as the guy that defends the establishment.
I have yet to figure out what the establishment is. I mean, I love these people. Oh, it's a D.C. consultants, and, it's the inside the Beltway people. Well, fine. I know a lot of those people, but I live in Austin, Texas. And, I think the establishment is the shorthand for the people who nominated, it's for Mitt Romney. It's for John McCain, the last two nominees of the party. In order to differentiate themselves from, quote, the establishment, people say, well, we're against the establishment. Well, what is the establishment? I mean, this time around, we've had 22 million people roughly vote. 7.8 million of them have voted for Donald Trump, and the rest of them have not. Now, which one of those people voted for the establishment and which one of them didn't? I think it's a completely phony deal. I understand where it comes from. There are people who want to blow up the Republican Party so that they're not in control. They want to be in control. They want to be the people who are the committee chairman and the leader in the House and the leader in the Senate. They want to be the people who choose the nominees, and they want to be this and that. And so what they say is, I'm the only pure person around. And I'm the only person who represents the true Republican ideology. And if you aren't me, then you're a rhino, or you're part of the establishment. I just think that's counterproductive, destructive. But look, we have a true outsider, Donald Trump. I mean, think about this. This is a guy who supported John Kerry. This is a guy who gave four checks to Hillary Clinton for her 2008 presidential campaign. This is a guy who recently said that he didn't vote for Mitt Romney in 2012. And now he is the guy who has the more delegates than anybody else. He doesn't have a majority, and he's got 37% of the vote cast so far in the Republican primary. It just that getting 37% just does not entitle you to be the nominee simply because you lead the field. You got to get a majority. For 160 years, the rule has been you got to get a majority of the delegates at the Republican National Convention. And it seems odd to me. It's a radical change to say, well, you know what? The rule ought to change because I want it to, and we ought to change the rules in the middle of the contest. That's not how we do it.
And by the way, we're not going to have time here today, but I really want to unpack this because I've heard some great interviews with you about the 1896 election, and it should be a movie. It should be on the big screen. It's just incredible.
It's a rollicking wild tale with sex, violence, backstabbing, betrayal, and really cool nicknames. And North Dakota's in the book, man. North Dakota's in the book.
That's the best part. And you know what? There are so many lessons there to say, well, as rough as we think it is, it could be worse. Carl, take care, sir.
Thank
be
you.
Safe. We'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the program that asks a very important question every day. What's on your mind?
800-228-0550.
A familiar smile as you walk in the door. A handshake accompanied by a warm hello. Full service attention to all of your financial needs. It's what you expect from First International Bank and Trust. From personal to business banking, our professionals provide the perfect solution to any financial situation. First International Bank and Trust has been banking locally and responsibly for over 100 years. We give you the best personal attention to help you find your perfect financial solution. With flexible banking options like online banking and mobile and tablet apps, your money can be everywhere you are. You can even deposit checks with your phone using mobile check deposit. When you worry less about money, you have more time to live first. Visit us online or stop by any of our convenient locations. Get what you have come to expect. First International Bank and Trust. Live first. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Welcome to Soybean Minute, your source for timely soybean news.
I'm Board Director Mike Appert of Hazleton. Backed by popular demand, the North Dakota Soybean Council is once again sponsoring a See for Yourself program to Portland, Oregon, July 12th to the 15th for North Dakota soybean producers to see their checkoff dollars at work. Learn about checkoff investments in rail and water transportation, soy biodiesel, new uses of soy and fish diets, and visit shipping ports where North Dakota soybeans leave for Asia. Experience firsthand the systems in which the North Dakota Soybean Council invests to ensure market stability for your soybeans. If selected, airfare, lodging, and most meals will be reimbursed. All North Dakota soybean farmers are invited to apply to participate in the See for Yourself program by April 30th. Log on to ndsoybean.org and apply today.
This message is brought to you by the North Dakota Soybean Council and the Soybean Checkoff.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
Hey everyone, with 20 plus years as a radio host, I've seen about everything. One thing that keeps recurring though are these timeshare charlatans. These high pressure salespeople who get folks to come out to some resort for a special weekend offer. Then they get them in a corner and browbeat them and coerce them into buying a timeshare they don't need, they don't want, and they can't afford. And then they're stuck with that thing forever. Monthly payments, mortgage payments, annual fees that keep going up and up. Well, up until recently, people thought they couldn't get rid of these things. You know, you can't get out of the contract, you can't get out of the deed or the membership. Well, that's not true. My friends at American Consumer Credit, a timeshare release company, can get you free. That's their personal guarantee. 12 years in business, free consultation, A-plus rating with the BBB, they're the real deal. You want to get out of your timeshare contract? Call them now. 800-587-EXIT. That's 800-587-3948. 800-587-EXIT. Call now. 800-587-3948.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Had put a note on Facebook about our conversation with Carl Roeb and the list we didn't get to, the Wall Street Journal commentary that he had posted, how Trump can raise his game, a few bits of advice for the Donald, study up, change your tone, and focus on Hillary. Merle says it's pretty hard not to agree, although I'm not a fan of Karl Rove and he's no fan of Trump, but the advice he offered was sound advice. And Kenny says, too, about Trump. Yeah, it's time for him to put Hillary on the radar and move forward. Have you seen this back and forth, the war of wives stuff that's going on? Boy, that irritates me. You just want to get them in the room and say, just stop. Just stop. And I don't know if they think this stuff works, but, you know, really, and I actually think Cruz has looked worse in this than Trump, but he's had his fair share of it. I just don't know why you do it. I don't. But I didn't even get a chance to mention this with Carl. This piece he wrote, which went through a list of things that he said, look, the Donald's in a commanding position. But watch out. This is when some candidates slack off and make mistakes. So here's 10 bits of unsolicited advice for the GOP frontrunner. Hard to agree with a lot of this. One, change your tone. Two, work to unify the GOP. Three, pay attention to party regulars. Now, you may say, well, screw party regulars. But listen, if the national convention is contested, in other words, nobody comes in with a majority, 57% of the delegates will become free agents after the first ballot, 81 after the second. So to win in a convention battle, you need to pay attention to the people that go to these conventions. And this is where the Trump campaign doesn't necessarily play the political game to the extent they should. Kevin Cramer just told us this. I can't remember if it was on air or off air, but he said he was going to be interested to see how much work was going to be done by the campaigns trying to affect who's elected to as a delegate. In other words, if I'm a Trump supporter already and I come to the convention as a Trump supporter, then the Trump campaign should say, hey, I want him as a delegate because I've already got him. What he said they're doing instead is sort of letting the chips fall where they may in the selection of the delegates and then lobbying them afterwards. We'd like to have your support at the convention. Make sense? So figure out how to parry the attacks. He's saying, you know, effectively you're going to be answering attacks about whatever, you know, a lawsuit against Trump University, bankruptcies, statements he's made in the past. Effectively answering these attacks now will make you stronger when Democrats come after you. Good idea. Stop being a one-man band. Surround yourself with experts who reassure voters you can build the strong team you needed to govern. Take a breather and make good use of it. The pace is slowing right now. Use the break to study the issues. Stop depending on cable TV shows for information. Instead, have actual experts brief you. 7, go after swing voters. 8, keep the focus on Hillary Clinton and President Obama. 9, write a new stump speech. Your lines have gone stale. Introduce new material. Maybe examples of what needs to be changed that play to your strengths as a businessman. Self-deprecating humor is good. 10, please stop talking about polls. You sound like a pundit, not a president. And oh, by the way, all the polls show you trailing Hillary. So, you know, he's not fawning over him by any stretch, but I think he's actually offering some advice from somebody that's been there, done that. You know what I mean? All right, a couple of calls to get to here before we wrap up for the Friday edition. Go ahead and roll that, Todd.
Yes, I just don't have time to wait. So I have a comment to make on the governor's race. As Attorney General, I think Wayne Stengem has worked very hard for our state, including the government overreach regarding the EPA that a number of states joined in on. Dalrymple made him some difficult problems, I believe, when he failed to consult with Stengem on this Planned Parenthood issue, but that was Dalrymple's problem, and I don't think Dalrymple was real concerned because he was on his way out anyway, but it cost our state money. And I believe that Stengem is a very, very ethical and highly qualified person, but you can't even get through to talk to Stengem about this, about this situation either. So I just thought that it should be aired on the radio because I don't know of any way. You can't email him. You can't send him letters. This individual screens all of those, too. So thank you very much.
Oh, someone else screens him. I don't know what you mean. It sounds like you have a particular problem with somebody in the office. But obviously there's a website. There is you can write a letter. There's, you know, all those things. And I don't know what you're talking about on the plan.
It's called a campaign, not the governor's office. It's called a campaign office.
That'd be a way to do it, too, yeah. But she mentioned Planned Parenthood. Planned Parenthood is not in North Dakota. You may be talking about some of the pro-life legislation that Governor Dalrymple signed and Attorney General Stengem defended. That didn't come from Governor Dalrymple. That came from the legislature responding to the masses of the people wanting that legislation. And the constitutional duty of the Attorney General is to defend the laws when they are challenged. Did it cost a couple bucks to do it? Yeah, but you know, if you didn't defend things, then people would just challenge everything, as you do. You follow me? Somebody also said he watched the Garfield documentary. Said it was very good. You can see all the corruption, just like we have today. But sometimes it helps to check some of those things out in history. And I did like Carl's book a lot. I hope you enjoyed the interview. It was Carl, kind of fun. He's got some good insight. And you know, again, just one man's opinion, one voice. Yours, every bit as important as theirs. That's the way we operate here on What's On Your Mind. God bless you, folks. See you Monday. Have a great Easter weekend. Bye-bye.
So you've heard the ads for MyPillow, but you're still skeptical. Well, so was Kim until she tried it.
So I was asked by a friend to try out MyPillow, and I said I would try, but I really liked the pillows I had, so I was a little skeptical. So the first night, I really couldn't think of anything to complain about, because believe me, I was pretty sold on the previous pillows I had. And the second night, I was noticing I hadn't woken up to turn the pillow over, fluff it up, you know. And the third night, I noticed that my neck pain that I always have was starting to subside. And after the fourth night, I'm telling you, I was sold. And my daughter got a hold of my pillow and decided that it was hers and wouldn't give it back. And so I had to go buy another MyPillow.
Call to get your own MyPillow today. 800-506-9028. Use the promo code SCOTT or go online to MyPillow.com. Click on the 2-for-1 special and use promo code SCOTT at checkout. Get the sleep you've been missing.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
This is Sharon Hunt. Before using Heart and Body Extract, my energy level was very, very low. I could only walk a few feet and then would have to sit down. I was tired and lethargic. But after taking Heart and Body Extract, my energy level has improved greatly, and I can now walk longer distances without getting tired so fast. Thank you, Heart and Body Extract.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at hbextract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.